Welcome back and Happy New Year.
Welcome back and Happy New Year.
It's a whole lot of new things happening.
Really?
Yeah.
Are there?
2020? It's a whole new decade. Whole new
decade. Cheese and rice.
Right?
We're in the 20s.
I know. It's such a crazy thing to think about. Like,
right. Let's bring back the Charleston.
Right? Oh, I love the Charleston. I only know portions of it. But, you know, enough to have fun with it.
Enough to, you know, say that...
I know the Charleston.
You know, you can fake the Charleston.
Totally. Yeah. Mostly because most people don't know the Charleston.
Right. If you were to try to fake the floss, you know, you'd have a bunch of 10-year-old Minecraft kids being like, that's not it.
Yeah, that wouldn't work. You can't fake the floss.
I suppose Fortnite.
There's no reason to. Kids, it's pretty easy. Fort what? Fort Mine?
Fortnite.
Oh, Fortnite.
Fortcraft.
Oh, you know. What?
Mine Knight.
You're starting to sound like me.
That's impossible.
So, I mean, speaking of sounding like me, what was it like 10 years ago?
Oh, geez.
We were laying in bed and we were listening to NPR and someone was talking about how his wife always mixes idioms.
Yes.
And we were both laughing.
Ha, 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 that's hilarious.
Oh, isn't that funny that she does that?
And it's cursed you ever since.
It totally cursed me because ever since then I do that. Almost without fail. Almost.
Yeah, it's been the running gag for...
For years, for a decade now. Yeah, let's see what happens. Ooh, maybe this could be the moment
where I correct. Oh, so a new decade and you've corrected for fucking up idioms.
Yeah, maybe.
And cliches.
It's possible. What are some good ones that I say?
Oh, man, I wish I could remember. Because they're all so absurd. And it's like, when you say them, it's like, ha, ha, that's it. But now, I can't remember a damn thing.
I can't think of any of them. Well, so the one that he used was, it's not rocket surgery.
Right.
That's the one that they used on NPR. We both made fun of it. Yeah. Well, so let's see. We'll see what this new decade holds for me and cliches and idioms. And
yeah, week by week, we'll have a breakdown here at Married with Chickens.
And every time I do it, I know I'm doing it. I'm like, oh yeah, that wasn't right.
I know, it's like...
But what do? You just go with it.
Yeah, and you don't realize it until it exits your mouth.
Totally.
And you're like, oh, son of a bitch, that was wrong.
My daddy always told me that I speak before thinking. I guess he was right. But the thing is, if you stop to think, was that you thinking before speaking?
Yeah.
Sorry, I interrupted your thought process.
No, that was me realizing that what I had to say probably wasn't going to add to the conversation.
No.
It was probably going to be derogatory toward your family and, you know.
No, you should say
this
it.
This is not the place for it.
No, you don't think? Now I want to know what you were going to say.
Yeah, it was something about, and Stephen's lack of thinking in general.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll just keep the insults to a minimum, really. It's a new year,
he was so concerned with me thinking before speaking, but did he do that? That is the question. I would say no.
Right, because he had the Holy Spirit and...
Well, I think it was more the bipolar.
But. Well, I do too, but, you know, it's like some people will couch the one and the other, right? Be like,
okay.
Just go with it.
Just go with it?
Yeah. The insanity that I'm about to spew.
And you're, but Holy you're thinking Spirit. Twice about it. Well, okay. I hear what you're saying. No, but he never thought he was insane or that he had insanity.
I'm insane sure. People never do. Mm. I'm sure Charles Manson thought he was totally on the level.
Wow, you're going to go from my dad to Charles Manson.
That's is that a far leap?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
All right, how about from your dad to Jim Jones?
Because my dad's never murdered anyone. Okay, so what you were trying to imply is that my dad could have had followings like that of Jim Jones.
I am saying, had your dad not alienated every damn person he met.
He was charismatic.
He was charismatic to a point.
To a point. But then he would drive people away.
Right. But that's the one thing I wonder is that at what point are people driven away? Well, you know, how much of the insanity are they willing to put up with?
Mm-hmm.
Because
when it becomes uncomfortable for
them. You remember a client we had that wrote a book, of course.
Which?
I'm not going to say the book or the client because, okay. You know.
I'm totally drawing a blank.
But that was a follower of Jim Jones.
Oh, yes, yes. I didn't know where you were going with that. Yeah, that was crazy.
And still at this point, knowing what this person does, mm-hmm. still has, like, thinks of Jim Jones affectionately. Adoration.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, well, I wasn't able to ascend to a higher plane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really? You're literally that fucking insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, she was a reasonably intelligent person with a degree.
And had a degree and a career and a whole life after Jim Jones.
Right.
Because.
Yeah.
Because she was sent on some sabbatical or something for Jim Jones.
Well, she claims that he chose her to not die, that she wasn't ready to die. And that's why she
wasn't
there.
Everyone wants to be the chosen one, don't they?
Oh, God, that's ugly.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah,
but that's human nature.
Mm-hmm.
And human nature is fucking ugly.
It is, yeah. Well, we want to be adored and we want to be loved and we want to be chosen. We want to feel important. Right?
Yeah, whereas we're all just fucking tiny little blips.
I think that's why tribalism is so easy to instill. You know, you feel part of something. It makes you feel important. And I think it makes you feel safe.
And you'll fucking defend it to the ends of the earth.
No matter what. Yeah. Just still defending Jim Jones.
Yeah. Without fucking thinking about it.
Okay. So, but back to my dad and why he couldn't have been Jim Jones.
Because it just took it that much farther.
No, it was his level of madness, his level of insanity would take him to a place that was no longer manipulative. And I think that's the difference.
Oh, he's just angry?
Yeah, like he wasn't trying to manipulate people or be charismatic. Mm. He just was who he was.
Right.
And when he was on a high, people were really drawn to him. And
yeah, we've all known people like that, right?
Absolutely, right? I'm still drawn to those people. I have to be careful, right? I have to be like, oh, wait.
That's because you hear my voice in the back of your head.
Yeah, if I connect with someone, specifically women, at that moment when I'm like, oh my God, this person's amazing. We're going to be best friends. We're going to spend all this time together. I hear your voice and I'm like, oh. And it's like I step out of my body and I look at the situation and I'm like, oh yeah, this person's crazy. And now I can see it. But so for Dad, like when he was on that high and he was charismatic, like it was exciting and it was charming and it was fun. But when he was in a low, it wasn't fun anymore.
It was the exact opposite of fun.
Yeah. And it was almost like everyone was in trouble. No matter what you did, everyone was in trouble, from his children to his wife to his friends. And right after he died, one of his best friends died a couple days later.
Right.
Wayne. And I talked to Wayne. Right after Dad. Was it right after?
Well, it didn't seem like long before he died.
Right after Dad died, the next day or the day after that, I went to visit Wayne. And he was talking about how he and Dad took a trip to Mexico back when we were little kids. And Dad was always taken off to Mexico. And Wayne was like, it was awesome. It was a great trip. But then all of a sudden on the way back, like, Stephen just couldn't let whatever it was go. And it had to do with God. I mean, typically Dad would be preaching and he just wanted everyone to agree with him. He didn't convince people he was right. He just wanted people to agree with him.
He's like, I am right, so therefore you should know that I am right.
It was all knowing. It's like he expected people to just think of him as almost omniscient.
Yeah, he's Moses.
Right. And that's where he would have lost his followers. So he couldn't have been a Jim Jones.
Right. He was not willing to convince people that he was right.
And he didn't think he needed to.
And that's where his charisma ended.
Right. And I think it had everything to do with his disease, which is, I would personally diagnose it, being nowhere near to being a doctor, as bipolar.
Right.
You know, based on his behaviors. And I think we got that from the veterans hospital. Yeah, the VA, the VA, not a veterinarian. I think
veterinarians assessed your father.
That's what's wrong with my family, right? We were going to the wrong doctors.
They go to the wrong, yeah.
No, so yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that there was a diagnosis of bipolar, which is totally in line with what I remember and what we experienced, and
what the stories you've heard as far as that side of the family's history goes as well.
Well, his mother, his birth mother, was also bipolar and tried to kill my dad once or twice. I know of once. I
think twice. You have a lot of attempted homicides in your family.
Yeah, and then ironically, we tried to kill my dad. So there you go. Apparently, we tried to kill bipolar people at some point or another.
I wouldn't say tried. You theorized.
We considered options.
Yeah, like if
elaborately,
this, then that. What would happen?
So Julie tells the story of when we were little, and Mom and I were, apparently, I actually don't remember this. Mom and I were considering poisonous mushrooms. And I remember talking her out of trying to kill him, but Julie said she was really upset because we were talking about trying to kill her daddy. It was really upsetting to her because she loved her daddy. And like she, you know, the babies in our family didn't see the crazy side of dad.
Which is...
He was never mad at babies. Babies agreed with him and loved him.
Right, but it's comical. Well, comical is not the right word, but... It's interesting in that from like each generation of children, right? And it's funny because it spans decades. Mm-hmm. You know, there's decades between the children.
Right.
You know, so you have the childhood strata.
Right.
The people who
three
were there young,
decades of kids.
You know, there for the young Steve, Stephen, right? Endured the worst pain. The people who were there for the middle-aged Stephen dealt with a little bit less pain. Mm-hmm. And the people who dealt with the old man, Esteban.
As you like to call him so lovingly.
Right. Esteban con Bardo. So, yeah, the people who dealt with the old man were like, oh, this old man, he's so nice and congenial.
I love the story of like, so when I met you, I hadn't really been talking to my dad. Four decades, actually. Well, I guess a decade. One decade, yeah. I'd seen him maybe once or twice when I met you. And then he came to visit us. And I remember, like, I used to always tell you how, not ferocious, but formidable. And, like, he was this scary man who could take on anything. He could take down mountains. And, like, people were afraid of him. And then you met him and you're like, I don't get it.
Right. I'll ground him and pound him if I have to.
And, you know, for me, like, I still saw him that way, even though I was an adult and I was as tall as him, you know, nearly. Not as tall, but close.
I was going to say, aren't you taller than?
No, I think my...
Because I stood over him by...
Well, you're 6 foot one. He was 5'11", maybe 5'10". And he got shorter as the years went on.
As he got older.
And I'm 5'9",
so we all do.
If I have a pair of heels on, I was taller than him.
Right. Well, I'm 6'2", to be clear.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
According to the doctor.
I just took away an inch.
Well, that's going to happen eventually.
That ain't cool. Right? Yeah, let's wait till it actually happens to you before I start decreasing your stature as a man.
But that's when I stand with military posture.
Oh, gotcha.
My normal slouch, I'm probably like right at 6".
Right. Yeah. There you go. 6'2".
6'0".
Bam. Well, yeah. So I don't know. It's a sad disease. The thing about bipolar is people don't know they need help because when they're doing great, they're on top of the world.
I'm on top of the world.
And then when they're in a lull, I mean, he always had reasons for why things were bad. You know, it was...
Well, it seems
clear
so logical,
to him.
Right?
It was totally logical in his mind. And to us, we were like, what is happening? So we just had to ride the wave until he came out of his lows. But, you know, manics can be just as scary with a bipolar. But luckily, my dad didn't, he wasn't an alcoholic. And yeah, he smoked pot, but he wasn't a substance abuser, really. In fact, the best years of my childhood were when he drank and smoked pot the most.
Right. Well, that's the funny thing. It's like, for him, it was probably a mitigating substance, right?
Probably.
Potentially prevented, like, extreme mood swings that you had to endure the other portions
of your... I hate to believe that that's true, but maybe.
Yeah.
I think he was having fun. You know, like, we had a lot of friends, and there was always activity, and, you know, Spotted Eagle lived there.
And... Well, and that's probably a lot of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, the whole rat park thing.
Right. Oh, yeah, talk about that, because that's fascinating.
So you got the... And I don't know, this theory and whatnot may have been disproven at this point, but initially the whole thing with the rats where you've got rats in a cage, and they're able, it's just a boring, like, clear Lexan cage, and they're able to dose themselves with...
And there's, like, nothing to do, but yeah, there's two water bottles. But
they have a water bottle full of water, and then the other one's got, like, heroin or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. another sort of opiate in it. And they'll just drink heroin to death, basically.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know, you create a park, and the rats are able to go out and have fun and do whatever they want. And
so there's lots of space. Swing on there's a things to do.
And have sex right? with female rats and do whatever. It's like...
I like how you threw in the sex part.
Well, no, that matters. That's what happens. That right. absolutely matters.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
They're fulfilled.
They're completely fulfilled. Anything they could want as a rat is being provided for them.
So do they drink the heroin? No,
they don't drink the opiate-laced water.
They're they don't like, even oh, touch you know, it. They drink the water.
Regular water's fine with me.
Right. Interesting. Yeah.
You know, so it's like if you are...
So as humans...
As a human, if you are fulfilled and you enjoy that which you do, you're probably not going to drink as much.
But how do you explain rock stars? Heroin... Addled.
Because they're fucking miserable.
But why are they so miserable?
Have you ever, you know, traveled from gig to gig to gig to gig?
True, it's a pretty...
Yeah. I mean, it's a rough life.
Right.
And sure, you're being compensated
giving a
well,
lot of yourself.
But then it's like, okay, well, now you're doing that, and now you're being seen mm-hmm. by everyone, and everyone knows who the hell you are.
Mm.
So it's like you have to have enough money to wall yourself off from the world, because the world wants a piece of you.
Right. And that's going to be rough. I mean, it's hard enough.
You just want to live a quiet, peaceful life, which is, you know, I have zero interest in being a rock star.
Right. Or famous.
Or famous matter. At all.
Which is why no one knows who the fuck we are. Well, our listener.
A dozen people know who we are, maybe.
Our listener knows our first names.
But that's, you know, I'm a bass player.
Because, you know, if people got wind of Married with Chickens, we would be famous almost overnight. So, okay, but this is interesting. If you think about people who are most likely to be addicted, I mean, there's the genetics of it, right? So there's that group of people. And then there's the poor people who are in really bad situations, a lot of poverty. There's no hope for...
There's
mobility,
no rat park
there's
for
no
those
education.
People.
Right. So we're talking like inner city, a lot of drugs in that situation.
Or rural.
Or rural.
You know, that's where the breakdown is.
But we're talking poor, you know,
yeah.
not a lot of opportunity, not a lot of hope for opportunity. Or the other end is people who are super famous and who are walled off and don't get to go out and really experience life. I mean, if you think about it, to be famous, you no longer get to just walk out into public. You have to hide yourself to obscure yourself. You have bodyguards. And so ultimately, I mean, you're kind of in that small cage with those rats. So for them, it's about...
Despite all my rage, I'm still just a rat in a cage.
Amen, brother. Amen. Yeah, it's like on the one hand, we have someone who has a ton of money and fame and, you know, for all intents and purposes, you'd think that they've got it made, they've got everything, but they've really put themselves in a box. Whereas you've got the other extreme where someone just doesn't have opportunity to get what they need to be fulfilled in life. And those are the people most likely to be addicts. I mean, I don't know if that's accurate, but it seems...
Who knows if that's
where
the numbers
bear. I like that we're figuring out the addiction problem of the world. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, and I also think that... you know, mental illness has a lot to do with it, and depression, and, you know, self-medicating has a ton to do with it. And addiction is real. I mean, here I am once again, listener. Jennifer has decided to quit drinking
and quit eating for some strange reason. Not entirely, but
no. It's not even a resolution.
Some weird ass fucking diet that we saw in the background of a Seinfeld episode.
Right, and I think it's going to work this time. I really do. Yeah.
Listener. Said every addict ever.
Totally. So, no, I am going to just be very diligent for January and not drink. So, I quit drinking for 1 month, and I'm following the Zone diet, actually. The Zone. It's not even really a diet.
It's a lifestyle change.
That's exactly right. Yes, Chad, you got it. It's about how I put my meals together. So a certain amount of carbs, a certain amount of fat, and a certain amount of protein. And I eat more than I normally do, actually. I end up eating more food, but it's balanced in such a way that my body is able to use it. So we'll see what happens. At the end of January, I will report, when I started this diet, I weighed 192.6. There you go.
Well, at the end of the week, you already had a reduction, right?
Well, and it's only been 3 days, and I'm down to 190.4. So I don't know. We'll see what
happens. And again, not a diet, a lifestyle change.
It's, yeah, and you know, I try and follow that lifestyle, but I have to say it's been hard. So my dad died, and I totally fell off. Frankly, I just started drinking a lot. And then I make bad choices, and I eat lots of Cali corn. Damn you, Cali corn, for being so delicious. We miss you. But anyway, I don't even want to go down that road. It's too depressing.
Right, because their sponsorship was shit anyway.
Oh, they were terrible. They didn't deliver. It would have helped had they known about it. But, you know, there's some flaws, but that's okay. We're working on this.
Yeah, well, that's on us.
Exactly. We're willing to take that on. So the month of January, I'm going to be dry and trying to eat as strictly as possible within the zone, just to see how I feel at the end of the month. You know, I just want to lose 20 pounds. That's it. I want to get back down to my fighting weight, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling good about myself. And now that I'm almost 50, my metabolism is slowing down.
Womp, womp.
You know, it only goes south from here. So
right.
I got to get it under control before I turn 50.
Yeah.
So that's the goal. So speaking of diets, I was in Costco 2 days ago. God, maybe it was yesterday.
I think it was yesterday.
It might have been yesterday. So I was in Costco right before Christmas. And of course, when I walk into Costco, I don't really pay attention to what's around me. But at Christmas, there was all kinds of potential gifts. So like candle sets and, you know, cool lights and, you know, fuzzy blankets and slippers. And
were there any summer sausages?
There were no summer sausages, but I see where you're going with that.
That's always my favorite. Like,
right?
It's like, I resent the people that give me summer sausages and cheese sets.
Mm.
But then come January, I'm like, I tear into those fucking things. And I'm like, oh,
this is delicious.
I'm so glad I have this.
But why do you resent those people? Do you think they did?
Really? Summer sausage and cheese? What, you just picked this up off of?
Off of some end cap at Costco? End cap at
Costco.
And turns out, yes. Here you go. They did. And then you're grateful.
I don't know if I'd say grateful, but I eventually capitulate to like, all right, fine.
Summer sausage is delicious. I just want to say that right now.
Yeah, there's nothing good about it, though.
No, it's terrible for you, but it tastes really good. But it depends on the summer sausage, too. So, not all summer sausages alike. Not equal.
I'm sure that, you know, that's the case.
What is it, Pepperidge Farms? Is that what?
Oh, Pepperidge Farms remembers.
Pepperidge Farms.
Pepperidge Farm.
I don't know. We'll have to like at some point do a study on the best summer sausage. Maybe our listener has some information on that and can call in and let us know.
And by call in, you mean leave a message at...
leave a message on our website.
On our website.
Which is marriedwithchickens.com. You can contact us through our contact
email
form.
Email is squawk@marriedwithchickens.com.
marriedwithchickens.com. That's right. You can squawk at us any old time you like. Mm-hmm. So... normally, the gauntlet is Christmas gifts. You know, it's commercialism. And yesterday when I went...
Crass commercialism.
Totally. Which I never really paid attention to.
We're in the late stages of capitalism, but that's a wholly different conversation.
That is a different conversation, but maybe we should have it anyway. But I normally don't look at it like, wow, look at all these gifts they're trying to make me buy. Right? I'm not insulted by... those items. I don't know, maybe because I find them interesting, but yesterday...
until the January.
January 2nd, or was it the 3rd? The gauntlet was all, maybe you want to guess, every single item...
fitness.
Well, nutrition, actually. It was
same
all...
same diff.
Vitamins and supplements. It was a wall of vitamins of supplements. And I was kind of like, whoa, like I kind of took me back.
Here's
like,
a bunch of pills to give you mud butt.
Wow. Like America buys into this. I'm like, there's turmeric and there's a pill for everything. And those were all available in bulk at Costco as you walk the gauntlet of the entrance.
Which is funny because turmeric is way cheaper than any Indian.
Oh, yeah, right? Like,
or Middle Eastern market.
But they put it in little caplets, see, Shad? And then put it in a pretty bottle, and then they seal it.
As opposed to just mixing with your tea.
Right, which is what I do. By the way, listener, if you like chai, I recommend some milk, some fresh ginger, some turmeric, some pepper. Delicious. But anyway, yeah, it was kind of crazy. And then as I continued to walk through Costco, there was the fitness. You're right. So there was yoga mats and straps and yoga blocks.
And ellipticals.
Then, and there was elliptical. And then there was one of those gravity things that hang upside down.
Inversion.
$299. Holy cow.
Know, right?
They're, what the?
They're like $75 if you go to...
And you know what we should
Craigslist.
Do? Here's what's going to happen. By August, everyone exactly. who got one of those is going to be ready to get rid of it. And that's when we should be in the market, is in August.
All right. $75 ready thinking. To go.
Yeah. We're going to have to put that aside right now. Save it up. So, yeah, it was kind of crazy. And it made me feel kind of sad, actually, that like that's what we, like, that's who we are as a people, as a culture, is.
A commodity being
so
sold to.
Fucking obvious. It's so obvious, you know? And like, how many of those supplements will actually be taken come 90 days? And 90 days is kind of the threshold for any new program or diet, or, you know, people will try it for
right,
90
which
days.
Which is funny because it's like most, all right, for me, I don't know if it's across the board, but if I do something for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. at that point, it is then a habit.
Right.
Whether it be taking some, you know, supplement, or this is what I do, I get up at 6 a.m. and I work out or do whatever. You know, if I do it for 2 weeks,
you stick with
the
it.
Rest is easy peasy.
Well,
if I make it that first 2 weeks, no problem.
But I guess you want to achieve, because most people will join a gym, work out for 2 weeks and quit.
Right, which is like we were talking the other day, which is why they have the huge processing fee or whatever it is. It's like, oh, well, you know, the gym membership is only $30, but the initiation fee is $100.
Yeah.
It's like, oh,
because they know you're going to quit.
Of course it is, because you're going to quit after 30 days.
Well, and here's the rub with that.
If you want to start again, it's another $100 plus another.
So David and I are looking into joining the climbing gym. And we're like, okay, so during the month of January, they're going to waive the initiation fee.
Right.
So cool. We're like, perfect, let's sign up. But if you cancel for a month and then re-up.
You have to pay that fucking initiation fee.
You have to pay the initiation fee. So it's really a way to get you to continue paying monthly, because you think, well, I didn't climb this month, but I'll do it next month. And right. I don't want to have to pay that initiation fee again. So it's bunk. I hate it.
Some bullshit.
I'm really shocked at how expensive climbing is. $20. $25
per session.
Yeah, per, it's a day. Day visit. I mean, sure, you could climb all day, but no one can do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, which is
pretty crazy.
Why I think it's...
That's why you go outside, bitches.
Right. Especially when you've got... We're in Southern California, for God's sake. We got so many places, you know, that you can access any time of the year.
True.
You know, oh, if it's...
Well...
If it's hot...
The gym.
You know, then you go to the mountains. If it's,
right.
you know, cold, then you go to the desert.
But then that's the weekends. And so the gym is what you use to stay in shape so that when you go outside on the weekends and actually climb on real rock, you're strong enough and you have the confidence to actually lead a good climb.
Put a hangboard somewhere in your house and then...
Well, that's true.
And then go to Woodson.
We should just build a climbing wall.
Yeah.
Ooh. If we do... The granny flat. So we're thinking of doing a granny flat.
Oh, you're going to put a climbing wall on the one side of the granny
just
flat?
Just put a climbing wall on the one side and underneath. I would
put
do a total cave. Yeah. I could do a couple top ropes, do some traverses. Fuck yeah.
So then we should do a swimming pool underneath so we don't have to worry about top roping it.
Terrible idea.
And then you just, if you fuck up, you fall into
the swimming
pool.
So every time your shoes are just soaking wet.
Like, son of a bitch. Yeah. But
that's the worst when
you're
rope.
Fall. Don't fall.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to work a problem. I mean, that's the whole point of plastic, is you climb above your level so that you can climb stronger when you go outside.
Maybe.
And not fall.
I always climb above my level.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, because my level's like 5'8". So.
That's not true.
So, yeah, that's anytime I'm on anything harder, it's climbing above my level.
Well, I really like this idea. We're going to build a climbing wall. So now we just have to, like, you know, come up with the money. No
and
big deal.
The granny flat.
And the granny flat. Right. 200,000. Easy peasy.
Shit.
And we need a granny. Got
to
put a granny.
To put in said flat. I think
right.
we have that.
Yeah. I don't think we do. Not yet. We're not there yet.
She's already granny.
We only
a granny.
Have one granny. Well, she is a granny, but she also has a home. I'm talking about you, Mama.
Yeah. If you're the listener. Hi.
Hi, Mom. Yeah. So eventually we do need a granny flat for Mama. We'll see what happens. She may not want to live with us. We are rather obnoxious.
Fair point. Podcasting every week.
Yeah, right?
Another week.
Well, we've been a little bad.
A little lax. Sorry, listener, if you've been, you know, hanging on our every word. But
which is very doubtful.
Yeah.
And if you have, I'm so sorry about that.
Seriously.
Call us. We'll help you through it. Yeah, we're going to help you through this. You can do it. We can do this together.
You got this.
Mm-hmm. So I went out to see the ladies today. So we've been letting them roam free again. They're free range ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen hide nor tail
before.
Is that right? You know, hide nor tail?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Of the German Shepherd. So, yeah.
Head nor shoulders.
But what I love about it is, like, normally we have to worry about them, like, leaving the property and, like, going up the driveway and just, you know, going too far away to where they're not safe. But they've just been hanging out under the coral tree.
I think they've realized that bricks don't feed them particularly well.
They're like, it's not very delicious up there with the bricks. We'll stay down here. And I imagine they're eating, like, termites and various bugs.
Well, I hope they're eating termites. Good right? Lord.
Because they're under that tree an awful lot. I'm like, what's happening under that tree that's so interesting?
Like, do you need me to dig a deeper hole? Because I'll let you eat those fucking termites.
Right. But they're still not laying eggs.
Mm-mm.
Occasionally, we were getting sunny eggs. So this morning, it looked like a chicken blew up in the coop again. And it was totally sunny feathers. But she doesn't look like she's molting, so I don't really get it.
Huh. So here's something. I have Pinterest. Perhaps you've heard of it.
No. Tell me of this Pinterest. Well, go on.
The unfortunate thing is that I get emails every damn day.
From Pinterest. That used to happen to me, and then I marked it as spam enough that it stopped.
Right. Well, maybe I should start doing that or just unsubscribe.
It was so annoying.
Because I don't use Pinterest.
Right.
But for whatever reason, because they're listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of shit about chickens.
Do you really?
I do.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so.
But wait, did you look up something about chickens on Pinterest once?
Not on Pinterest, but elsewhere.
Just in general.
Okay. In general. So it's like Amazon is sharing info with Google, who's sharing info with whomever will buy it off of each other, right?
Right.
So everyone shares. By share, I mean, you know, everyone buys information from everyone else. And Pinterest apparently has information on me about chickens. And where was I going with this? The point is that apparently chickens need X amount of hours in the day of light.
To lay eggs.
So when the days get shorter, they stop laying.
So it's not about how cold it is.
It's not necessarily about how cold it is. So,
and there's not very much light down there.
There was like a whole email of, you know, all these different posts on Pinterest about how you can get your chicken to lay more eggs or, you know, during the short hours of the month, you know? Yeah. So they're saying, like, put an 8-watt bulb in your, you know, and set it on a timer. So it's super low wattage bulb.
Yeah.
That's
a really good idea.
Wakes your fucking chickens up at 4 a.m. Yes.
And gets them.
Or keeps them awake after 5.
Huh.
You know, so that they have like 14 hours of light.
Does it have to be 14 hours?
It's something like that.
Interesting. Yeah, because the sun is in a position in the sky that it's constantly in the shadows down there at the coop.
Well, we do live on a road that is named after that.
Yes, we do. Come on, Chad, knock it off. Yeah, you're right. So
we live in the shadows.
They're in the shadows.
The house is in the shadows. The backyard's in even more of a shadow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like there's a little teeny strip of sun for a very small portion of the day. And then they're sitting under that tree where there's no sun, you know, because it's up against the house. So that's interesting. So we're just going to have to wait or get a low-watt bulb.
Maybe.
Well, that's fascinating. Thank you very much.
For some, more than others. And, you know, it's one of the rare occasions that I'm thankful that I have, like, these weird subscriptions to
you're things like, oh, that I thank never you, fucking Pinterest.
Signed up for.
Actually, that was really helpful. I think I know why. So you sent me sort of, it was like a meme, I guess, of things chickens should eat and should not eat. And I bet you got that off of Pinterest. Not on purpose.
Probably so.
But when you were searching Google, you got images and you downloaded Pinterest, it and it happened to be a Pinterest. I bet that's it. You just happen to be signed into your Pinterest account, and so there you go.
Yep.
Bam.
Or it's one of those things where you sign into an account using your Google login, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, now everyone's fucking tracking you.
Mm-hmm. Bastards. Well, so I finished a couple books over the holidays. I did a lot of nothing. I'm kind of embarrassed about it.
Why would you be embarrassed about doing nothing?
Because
on your time off, it's your time.
I had so many plans to clean the house and get the yard work done and get caught up on stuff and feel like ready to tackle the new year. But instead, I just didn't, well, nothing. Almost exclusively.
Right.
I did read a couple books, which I'm excited about.
Well, that's not nothing.
I mean, that's true.
That's the thing is, you know, when I think about all the people that I admire and or idolize.
You idolize people?
Not very many.
Mm.
But
who are they?
Those that I do, it's like, what do they have in common?
They read.
They read. And they read amazing books.
Hmm. Interesting.
That's something I don't do.
Do you idolize me? Wait, I don't read very interesting books. Never mind.
There are some books that you read that are interesting.
No, presumably. I love my books. Yeah. I'm more a literary fiction kind of a person. I hate reading nonfiction.
It's funny. The
so boring.
The books that I've read, you haven't read. The books you've read, I haven't read.
Right. We have to, but we've read some books together.
Right.
Well, I read them.
Vonnegut.
Yeah, mostly Vonnegut. That's right. That was fun. We should do that again. We should
good
start
times
reading.
In the tents.
Yeah. So, listener, we used to go camping. Actually, we lived almost a year climbing and camping. And
in 1976?
Six? I think it was 1976.
Toyota Chinook, I believe we've covered on this podcast.
We've talked about it before. Yeah. So, when we would go to bed at night, I would read from the headlamp, mostly Vonnegut books, but also Animal Farm, I believe.
Yeah. That was a goodie.
Mm-hmm. Short ones,
really. was nice because, you know, I'd read that in high school. And
I hadn't. I hadn't read it in high school. I didn't have. So most people you meet will tell you they had to read books in high school. I am the exception to that rule.
Right.
And all the people I went to school with, obviously.
Because they were in the same high school.
Because they were in the same high school. But there were only 12 of us. So there's only 12 idiots running around in the world.
Shit. I wish that particular, were the case.
Right. And it's not that we were idiots, but I have to say the education level was low. So I taught a class at Cal State University recently, and I was talking to, I think, freshmen, sophomores about, and it was a business school, and I was talking about branding and the importance of reinventing yourself. And I started out with this statement. When I graduated from high school, I didn't know how many continents there were. Mm-hmm. And everyone looked at me like, you're looking at me like, what? How is that a thing? But it was. I didn't know how many continents there were. And the point of that was my education was not good, but that didn't stop me from being who I wanted to be and reinventing myself and taking the world by the horns. Hey, there you go. There's one of those idioms.
Yeah, but you nailed it.
But normally you take the bull by the horns. I take the world by the horns, and the world doesn't really have horns.
Yeah,
does that
fine.
Work? Does it work?
Taking whatever you take.
All right. Well, maybe I am turning the corner.
Close enough than what I'm used to you fucking up. So that seems right.
Well, thank you. We're going to keep a tally. But the whole point was that we have the choice to reinvent ourselves. And anyway, my education was bad. And part of that is that in my English class, I didn't have to read the great books. So when I was in my early 20s, I was just voracious. I wanted to read every book that was required reading for other people. And people are like, really? So of course I read War and Peace. And of course I read every freaking Tolstoy and Dostoevsky.
To be fair, none of that shit was required.
Wasn't? You don't think?
No.
Hmm.
No, I think that the stuff
I also
read
Ayn Rand, for the record.
Yeah, my condolences.
That was all of her books.
Oh, it's such bullshit.
The first book I read by her was Anthem. Amazing. It was so good. And then I read, she was just a good storyteller.
Yeah, but an absolute shit
person.
We won't go down. You're going to call her a philosopher.
I wouldn't call her. I mean, she was, to a lot of people.
Some people do.
For me, I didn't know that when I was reading the books. They were just fiction and there were good stories and great character development, you know, and I enjoyed the stories a lot.
I would be curious to know if you were to go back
and read them
and
now.
Reread them mm-hmm. and be like, oh, well, this
I'd
is complete
pissed
shit.
Off. I think I'd be pissed off.
So trite and boring.
Yeah. Potentially. Yeah.
Because what little I've read, that's kind of my feeling.
I think I might be insulted now.
Right.
That I have more knowledge.
Well,
I guess a little bit.
If you read Dostoevsky and Tolstoy.
I guess. I don't know that I got any knowledge from any of the
No, but
Russian...
you got a feeling, right?
Right. That's true. Yeah. In terms of storytelling, like it was definitely up there with, I mean, just fantastic books. Although I have to say that one of my favorite top five is The Three Musketeers. So there you go.
Yeah. But, you know, it's
Dumas.
Classic.
It is a classic. So I went and read classics and I just couldn't get enough. And the thicker the book, fine.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's like in high school, and I went to, you know, I got a relatively decent upbringing through junior high and high school as far as that goes. But it was mostly, so we were left more to the humanities as opposed to like reading classic literature.
Mm. And I got to choose my literature, to be fair.
Right. So for us, it was all, we were forced to read the Iliad.
Right. Which I never read.
Forced to read.
My dad tried to make me read it.
Right.
Homer, so, I think, yeah. actually.
So we were stuck reading about Greek gods and Beowulf and all that other, you know, historical stuff.
Which is cool. I wish I'd read that.
Allowed to, you know, jump forward hundreds of years later and read, you know, Tolstoy or...
You and I talked about reading, actually, the Iliad and the Odyssey. Is that right? The Iliad and the Odyssey? By Homer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about actually reading those, or like maybe listening to them on audiobook, which I would like to do. I don't think I had the capacity to read them when I was in high school. And I wonder how many high school students do have the capacity, what they actually get out of it when they're reading it.
Yeah, I do wonder, because it's, you have to have a grounding in...
Right.
Well, in the humanities and ancient gods and...
In order for it to... Which I don't actually have much of a grounding in any of that.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
You think? Just based on the experience of being alive for almost 50 years?
Yeah. Almost.
Almost, yeah. Let's just be real clear. I'm still 49. Well, yeah. So now I have to choose a new book, and I'm not sure what I'm going to read. You know, I'm not quite sure. We're going to see. I probably won't have any time for reading. I'm going back to work on Monday. So I just read There, There by Tommy Orange. Fantastic book. Very good. And I won't say anything more. And then once our listeners read it, let me know, and then we can talk about it.
I thought you had an issue with the ending, but... I'm just saying.
Chad, I didn't want to give that away.
Well, I'm not saying give away the ending. I'm just saying it's not a perfect novel.
No, but I mean, it's perfect, and it's perfect how he wanted it written. It's perfect. And I appreciate that. I respect that.
Yeah.
It's not the ending I wanted. I wanted a little more closure, but I'm okay with it.
Right. What would you say is a perfect novel?
What is a perfect novel? American Dirt was pretty perfect. Janine Cummings. This isn't even available till January 20th.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. We're book nerds, have access to ARCs.
And it was damn near perfect. Really good book. I mean, it's going to be up for a lot of awards. Yeah.
Damn. You did say that it's going to be up for awards, not knowing that. You know, you don't have any insider knowledge of that, but it's that good.
It's that good. Yeah. Yeah. American Dirt. I think everyone should read it. That should be required reading for a lot of reasons, but I won't go into all that either.
Right.
Well.
More so than Catcher in the Rye?
Yeah. Way more so. Yeah. And Catcher in the Rye, I never really loved that book, actually.
oh, damn, that's heresy in our world.
Right? Everyone's like, oh, Catcher in the Rye. Everyone should read it. And I was like, meh. I mean, it was a good book, but I don't know. I didn't find it to be as life-altering. Maybe it's because I wasn't a male when I read it. I'm not a male now. But, you know, it's like every young man should read Catcher in the Rye. It'll change his life. I'm like, really? Huh. Okay. It was good, but I just didn't find it to be life-changing. And I'm not saying that American Dirt is life-changing. I'm saying it's eye-opening.
Right.
And I think there's a difference. So for me, speaking of Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged was, you know, kind of life-changing for me. Oh, it made me feel ambitious, and it made me want to go out into the world and succeed and do great things and better humanity through my ideas, which is ridiculous, I admit. But that's where I was when I was in my early 20s reading right. Atlas Shrugged. Like, for, you know, I feel the same way about a lot of Kurosawa films. Like, when I saw Ron for the first time in the theater, it was life-changing. I wanted to quit everything and go out and really live my life. Like, I realized that life is short.
That's funny, because I think dreams, Kurosawa's dreams would have...
done that for you.
Done that, I think, more so than Ron.
Well, and I don't know. I think it was just such a... the sweeping beauty of Ron just made me want to create beauty.
Right.
And wanted to do something that felt that incredible. Like, it just... it made me want to say, fuck everything. I'm going to go out and I want to do something great. I want to live the life I want to lead. I want to write books. And have I written a book? Well, okay, yes, I have. But I haven't written the books I want to write.
Right.
So I'm
Take
still
a
there,
look at
really.
Me now.
Right.
There's just an empty space.
Oh.
Oh, Phil Collins, how did you get so many emotions so right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That was, you went there.
Yeah, I did.
I remember a time when Phil Collins wasn't allowed to be played in our home. And now you're singing it.
No, that Phil Collins is still not allowed, by the way.
That's still a thing.
Unless,
okay.
Of course, it's, you know.
Just one-liners from Chad.
No. No, if it's old Genesis...
Well, that's different.
Like, and then there were three sort of Phil Collins and Abacab and...
Right, Abacab. Damn good album. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's okay, but...
See, I'm more of a new Genesis. You're more of an old Genesis.
I'm a Gabriel
You're
Genesis.
A Gabriel. And I am too, but I liked Phil Collins too. I don't know. How did we get down this road?
That's my doing. I'm sorry.
Well, congratulations. I'm feeling like, you know, we should maybe close.
Yeah.
And say goodbye.
You're going to cut this shit off.
I'm doing a little dance. A listener can't see it, but I'm doing it. I'm doing a little dance.
Totally doing it.
Back and forth, doing the dance, doing the dance.
I can confirm. Bump, stop bump, it. Bump.
Sorry.
Stop that.
So, listener, Chad's been writing music, which has been kind of exciting. And I'm thinking maybe we might have... Maybe next.
You're
maybe.
Talking about a theme song.
A theme song. Yeah, we need a theme song. You're not gonna. Why?
I don't know if these are.
They're not theme song worthy. They don't have the right
feeling.
I don't
think a theme song is worthy of them.
Of our listener?
No. I the theme song is worthy of the song that I'm writing.
Oh.
Just saying. Theme song. You know, I always kind of picture as like a throwaway sort of. You know, it's a catchy melody.
And these are actual songs.
Yeah. These are like, I won't say relatively complex chord changes, but.
But I still think some of them.
But they're not catchy at this point.
I don't think they need to be catchy. We just need to like come in with music and end with music. It could be different every time. You could share a little bit of what you're writing. Musically speaking.
Right. Well, maybe.
Which I'm super stoked that you've been picking up your instruments and playing and actually like putting down chords and. It's kind of awesome. I like to see it.
Yeah, we'll see if anything comes of it.
It makes me happy. What do you want to come of it?
I don't know. Maybe put together a band and play out live a couple times.
Cool. Okay. I think that'd be awesome. Yeah, because you were supposed to be starting a couple bands and one fell through and the other one's like still maybe on the back burner?
Yeah.
Cool. Wait, there was one question I had earlier that we didn't actually get answered. Who do you idolize? Anyone?
With regards to...
I don't know. You said there's very few people I idolize, but the people I do read a lot of books. They're well-read. So who do you idolize?
Well, I don't idolize. I mean, that's the thing. Is like, to put somebody on a pedestal is ridiculous.
Agreed.
Right? Mm-hmm. So to say that you idolize them is perhaps a bit too strong.
Yeah, okay. I get that. But who do you admire? Who's well-read?
Well, you want to go down?
I was just guessing, and I'm like, I don't even know if we want to tell people.
Like, what were you guessing?
I'm not going to say. We're going to end it with a cliffhanger.
People like
stay tuned.
Like Christopher Hitchens and Salman Rushdie.
I was going to say Christopher Hitchens.
And Stephen Fry.
Well, Stephen Fry is awesome.
And yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Everyone knows you're an atheist.
Jesus.
Everyone knows, Chad.
Why you got to go there?
Because it's true.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I think you are.
Yeah, I'm an atheist and an anti-theist, so.
Okay, you're going to go there.
Yeah, I'm going to step it up a notch.
Yeah, and listener, just for the record, I'm a born-again Christian, so it's real awkward.
Thanksgivings are tough. Christmas, well, it doesn't exist for me, it exists for you, so.
Yeah, which is why I don't buy Chad Christmas presents. And then he's offended. Come on.
And yet you're the person who
bought
me
Krampus. Why are you offended?
You bought me Krampus socks, for Christ's sake.
I did. They're funny.
No pun intended.
But the Krampus socks are
fucking hilarious.
They are pretty funny. So yeah, we'll just, you know, let that lie.
I could keep wandering down.
We'll move on from that part of our intimate life. Our religious holdings, as it were.
Or non-holdings.
Mm-hmm. As it is with you.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming. Thanks for being here, listener. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, goddammit.
It's going to be an interesting year.
Or should I say Happy New Year, non-existent superior being, dammit.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
It is. Say it again.
Happy New Year, non-existent superior being, dammit.
Wow. Yeah, of course, doesn't really have the same
non-existent
ring.
Superior being does not have any authority to damn.
That's true. Yeah, so it's almost a non-starter, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I'm leaving now, so you can stay here and keep talking if you want.
All right. Yeah, sounds
Goodbye.
Good.
Enjoy.
So anyway, listener, it's just me and Mishka sitting on my lap. I stole her chair, which I feel kind of bad about, but she seems to be okay with. Only while I pet her. As soon as I stop petting, that's an angry cat. So I guess I'd best pet.